Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Friday night around here. A little continuous lovemaking music, little river band. Friday night, just got paid, going out, you feeling the rest. But this comes one night after a happy Valentine's Day, 2019. Oh, yeah, listen along. It was late, I was walking you home. We got back down to the place and dreaming of the night. Oh, now this is good music. Would it work out right? They just don't make lyrics like this anymore. Guy loves a girl, doesn't pick up the phone, doesn't text, doesn't tweet, doesn't like, dislike on Instagram, actually walks, talks, and tries to close the deal. That's old school. Well, this will be my 25th appearance in Daytona out of the last 27 for the Daytona 500 and what some would term old school, or perhaps the lack thereof, and I'm not going to profess to be a gearhead. I'm not going to come out here and act like I am an expert at all in the sport of NASCAR. I am anything but. But I tell you, I have great time every year that I go, and I go twice a year. All I hope for in February is that it doesn't rain, because I've been to way too many Daytona 500s when Mother Nature just doesn't do anything at all in the favor of the sport or the race fans. You know, I had fooled former bosses of mine in Chicago at the Sporting News that actually knew something about NASCAR. It's a true story. And they would send me to Speed Week virtually all week. And I would do my shows right there from the Daytona Beach Ale House, which is still right there on the strip. And I would go and I would interview and I would get racers on and I would get some of the expert broadcasters on and some of the scribes on to talk about the sport. But it was so heavy in that era. If you're talking about when I got to Chicago in 2000 and I came right back right after that Super Bowl, in which Jaguar fans hate to think of because they lost to Tennessee three times in one season. Of course, we all remember the Titans leaving it a yard short and almost knocking off the St. Louis Rams in Atlanta. Well, 2 weeks after the fact, came back after going to many from like probably 92, 93 on. I'd have to look back on the exact amount of years from Tallahassee as well as here. Remember 1 year, Scott Jackson and I slept in the infield in an RV that we got from a company here in town. And Jackson was responsible for the gas in the RV, and he didn't keep up with it. So after the race, and this was in 97 when Jeff Gordon won his first ever at Daytona, and if memory serves me correct, that's when Dale Earnhardt wiped out and put some duct tape on that machine and went back out and finished a couple more laps to pick up some points. And Jackson, we weren't even in Ormond Beach yet on 95, and we ran out of gas in an RV. That was on Scott Jackson back in the old days of the ball, not on yours truly. But the star power, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt, okay, Rusty Wallace. I mean, how many races at the end of the line did Rusty Wallace run and race without ever winning? It was unbelievable. I remember guys like Dale Jarrett winning. I remember Ernie Irvin either winning at Daytona in the 500 or it may have been the summer race. Then all of a sudden you look up and here comes Jeff Gordon. And then here comes Tony Stewart. You had so many NASCAR drivers that really resonated with that crowd. I don't see it anymore. I don't hear it anymore. Don't get me wrong. I'm still going to have a wonderful time. I wouldn't miss this for anything. I'm taking my dad for the first time ever at the age of 81. He has no idea what to expect. He's done everything sports-wise. Never been to a NASCAR event. He's going to be blown away the first time he sees those cars go around, you know, at full speed. And I'm lucky enough with the relationship I have with Miller Lite that we're right behind pit row. We have the best seats in Daytona. But I saw what it was like attendance-wise last night, and it was down. And it just got me thinking, you know, what is it with NASCAR right now? Are they lacking in star power? Is there too much of a, well, today's kids, again, are coddled. They don't work on the cars. They didn't grow up in the cars. Instead, they get some skill. It comes to driving. They fly them in and put them in the car. I mean, don't you need a relationship with your crankshaft, man? Don't you need a relationship with the guys who are under the hood just wrenching? I mean, that's what I want to do. If I wasn't talking radio on a Friday night with you, damn it, I'd want to be wrenching. Just throw me under there and have at it. I think there's too much of that nowadays. That's what I'm told. That's what I hear. I'm asking you. What is it? Okay? Major League Baseball has been hurt a little bit by the lack of stars, American stars. I think there's plenty, but this is what I'm being told. When guys like Jeter retire, when guys like Mariano Rivera retire, when David Ortiz retires, when great players like this walk away from the game, and I understand that Rivera's, you know, from across the pond, so same with David Ortiz, he's from the Dominican Republic. But I'm not sure what it is. Hockey is really facing some demons. If you look at stars from the United States of America, it's a Canadian brewed sport, but it's really been dominated lately by Russians, Finland, Sweden, the finesse style of hockey. Again, it doesn't really relate to the Canadian sport, the United States of American type of sport. And I think star power there has been hurt. We don't have to worry about it in football. There's plenty of that that's going around. But I just look at other sports, and I see how the NBA is really trying to grow globally. And they've done a wonderful job. The NBA is very popular outside of the United States of America. You go back to baseball. What is the percentage now? Is it higher than 30% of the players are coming from out of the United States of America? Cuba, Dominican Republic, Venezuela. I mean, you just go on and on and on. Latin players come and grow up playing the sport and love the sport. I can understand why we can't find a large selection of heavyweight boxers. I get that. Who wants to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go chase chickens? And who wants to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend all day training and battling so you can possibly get into a situation where you're a prize fighter? Well, when it comes to racing, I've always been told that you're born with that, man. You start with the go-karts. You start by stealing daddy's keys. You start by drag racing. It's you and your buddies, and all of a sudden you're on dirt tracks, and this particular kid has it. I mean, even Dale Earnhardt Jr. is no longer a part of it. You know, he left, what was it, 2-3 years ago. I'm just wondering out loud tonight, because I'm going to go again this weekend, and I am going to have a phenomenal time. But I don't understand why the sport doesn't seem to be as attractive now as it once was. And I know when I leave the event, whether it be late night on a Sunday or after rain delays, staying there before on Mondays, going out doing shows there on Thursdays before the Twins. You know, I remember the old days of going there the week before, the Saturday before, for the old Bud Shootout. When they go, what was it? I don't remember how many laps. Then they'd invert the lead and get back after it again. I thought, you know, they went kind of rogue in an event like that. I don't know what it is. I wish I did. If so, I would say it. So, you know, if you want to chime in on that tonight, you can do so. Baloo, B-A-L-L-O-U, at 1010XL. We'll grab some calls on this as well at 641-1010. I will tell you that when I'm heading back from the Daytona 500, because I go twice a year, there's plenty of traffic on 95 North. My guess is that Jacksonville has always been a hotbed for NASCAR to Daytona. But I wonder if attendance has really slipped. I mean, have you seen what they have done with the track the last couple of years? They ripped all of those seats out on the other side during the backstretch. I mean, they've removed everything there. They totally redid and did much more than a facelift as to the original grandstands right out by Pitt Road and the start and finish line. And, you know, that whole side of the track is just incredibly put together. Now, I know prices are expensive, but hey, listen, supply and demand, that's sports in general. Costs a lot to go to any sporting event. Played golf today, was talking with a buddy of mine about how expensive tickets are to go see the Tampa Bay Lightning. And well, you know what? The Lightning are the best team in hockey right now. The Lightning sell out that place, and they do it well. People will pay if the product is good. I don't know enough about NASCAR to wonder if the product is not good. That's why I'm asking. And I'm also believe that it has something to do with the fact that they are lacking with star power, and also some of these kids haven't put in enough time. Not enough behind the scenes, not enough effort, not enough blue-collar work with the crews, understanding the machine that they're operating. Instead, it's just, hey, this kid's a whiz. Let's sign him, pay him, and we'll fly him to the next event. So, anyway, my opinion there on the Daytona 500, which I can't wait for. But maybe you could tell me why, in fact, it is going that way. All right, Tiger Woods right now has got a couple of holes to play. Off to a good round in round two after the rains came yesterday out at the Genesis Open. Of course, playing in Los Angeles at Riviera. Tiger birdies on 10 and 12. Moments ago, a bogey on 16. So that is the only red card that he has put up today. He just posted a 5 on the par 5 17th hole, a scoring hole for Tiger Woods. He finished his first round today, shot a minus 170. That is a minus 1, a total of 70. And so far today, he is at minus 1 as well. Therefore, he is at minus 2 overall with one hole to play. The good news, Tiger Woods is going to make the cut. He did not make the cut a year ago at Riviera. Tiger Woods has never won in Los Angeles. Think of the success he's had at Pebble. Think of the success he's had at Torrey Pines. He's never won at Riviera. And is he in position to win this weekend? He's going to have to really go low tomorrow on moving day and probably post a 64, 65, something along those lines to get into contention, because there are some golfers right now that are playing outstanding, including one of the guys he's paired with. That's Justin Thomas, who has it at 9-under. Adam Scott at 9-under as well. The latest on Matt Kuchar we'll get into in a bit. Was disappointed but not surprised to hear that at times today, instead of yelling Kuch, the gallery was yelling cheap. That's what he set up for himself. Reportedly now he's going to pay the caddy $50,000. Will the nonsense go away? I hope so. He realizes he made a mistake, and he's paying for it now. I mean, this guy is one of the most lovable players on the PGA Tour, and you got people in the gallery, instead of saying Kuch, saying cheap. That's a tough pill to swallow. So come back, and we'll talk about that. We're also not going to avoid the big story during this Friday news dump. The Colin Kaepernick situation is in, and it is so unclear that it's really disappointing to me. I want to find out what it means to you. And I know a lot of you are going to play the role of you don't care. Well, you don't have to be involved then. You can elect to do something else or just not participate. I'm not going to avoid this story. I don't think Colin Kaepernick got what he sought out for. And I'm going to tell you why. And that's coming up next, Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, checking social media. People want to hear about my dream story that I shared with Frangie, Caroline, and Brooks. Let me check again if I can get anything here on NASCAR. No. Already stuff coming up on Kaepernick, which I haven't touched yet. Lucid dreams are apparently what they're called. And I do have that power. It is an extremely cool power. There are times when I know that I'm dreaming, and it's really a cool situation to be a part of. I have these recurring dreams I have one about being a high school football player where I was just terrible and everyone was pointing at me and laughing at me and all that type of stuff. I don't know why. I've played football since the mid to late 80s, but I have that dream. But I do have these cool dreams every once in a while, and I can kind of play with them, take them to some different places. My conversation last night with John Smoltz was freaking spectacular. I think John Smoltz is the best analyst out of any sport, period. Now, I would I know Tony Romo's getting all the love, and he deserves it. What Tony Romo has brought to the National Football League is pretty spectacular. Again, I'm someone who doesn't like change. I actually like Phil Simms. I enjoyed Phil Simms with Jim Nantz. I miss Brent Musburger with Kirk Herbstreit. That's just the way that I am. By the way, you see that Chris Berman's going to do Red Sox games on WEEI? Assorted Red Sox games? That would be like me becoming the sideline reporter for the Florida Gators. How in the hell did Chris Berman get a gig with the Boston Red Sox? How does that happen? I mean, you win four titles in 18 years, you sell a lot of pink hats and green shirts, and all of these yuppies and people who've never been through the scarred days are all of a sudden there for the party. And now they start doing things like, here's an idea. Let's bring in Chris Berman to do some games on WEEI. How freaking foolish is that? Anyway, back to my dream. So I'm conversating last night with Smoltz. And again, I think he's the top analyst in the game. Him and Eddie Olchuk. Eddie Olchuk, who does hockey with Doc. Doc Emmerich is just spectacular. But we were going back and forth. And, you know, I read a lot. And there are things that I'm always trying to digest. And you put somewhere in your brain, because you know you're going to use them at some point. Haven't really talked at all about the Atlanta Braves. But I've studied and gone over a lot of moves that they have made, a lot of moves that Tampa Bay is making. But it was really weird last night, because if I was put to the test, I am gathering that I probably would have known maybe 60 to 70, maybe 75% of what I had retained so far on the Atlanta Braves, as far as new Braves. Some younger guys coming up through the farm system. And remember, they've got, we saw it a year ago, they continue to have some very good, young, and talented players. But I was doing that with Smoltz, and I was going over this list of top prospects like Vladimir Guerrero's son and Fernando Tatis's son. But there were other names on the list that I had forgotten about, and I was actually discussing last night with John Smoltz. How freaking crazy is that? And this is a true story. This is not embellished at all. I actually woke up and I thought better of my knowledge of the Atlanta Braves than I did before I went to bed from previously studying this. And I wondered, if people are able to do this, how cool would that be if you could do that in everyday life, including earlier in your life, if you were a student? Now, when we were studying for test, the only way that I was able to have any knowledge at all going into an exam was based on reputation. That's how you learned, again and again and again. That's the only way I got it. But I never remember going to sleep at that point in my life with all of this that I'm thinking about, sleeping, then getting up the next morning, and all of a sudden, I remembered where I dreamed about it the night before. If you can do that, if you're able to take your dreams there where it's actually working for you in a positive way while you're sleeping, just think about how cool that is. So I'm getting some people reaching out to me here on social media. Anyway, just wanted to share that with you. And no, I wasn't drinking Jameson all night. And no, I wasn't drinking Miller Lite all night. I didn't have any alcohol whatsoever. I didn't take any type of medication that I don't normally take. I do have high cholesterol. I've got to take that. I think it's hereditary. And I've got a thyroid problem, which explains why I think once you turn 50, you should be allowed to have a nap about every 3 hours during the day. That's the way that I do look at it. All right, so enough on that. If you want to respond, you can. Please Twitter only, unless you got a real good one. LaVey will let you through. We'll take a call or two on it. If you believe it's genuine there, LaVey, at 641-1010. I'd love to hear from you on it. I think it's very fascinating. I've thought about reading about dreams before. I've never dived into it. I know there's a lot of psychedelic feelings with it and, you know, going back to the days of LSD and stuff like that. This is nothing like that. This is just me being able to take dreams in certain places. I'll have dreams where I'm involved in something that's really bad, and I'll know in the dream that it is a dream. And I could play with the dream. That's kind of cool. I remember one time coming out, and I had like 8 or 9 cops come after me and say, there he is. I read a lot about criminology. I read a lot of true crime. I knew it wasn't me. So I could play with the cop in the dream. Am I out in right field, LaVey? A little bit?
No, I wouldn't say so. I find this interesting that there's actually a famous and very popular song out right now called Lucid Dreams at the top of the charts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring up a popular song on the chart by the Everly Brothers called Dreams. Dream, that, dream, dream.
That works too.
Dream, or perhaps Fleetwood Mac Dreams, where my daughter's going to see Fleetwood Mac Monday night in Tampa. I don't know. I just, it's really interesting. I mean, who knows how the brain really does work? Recurring dreams are really, really cruel in a lot of ways. I know people who will have bad dreams, and it can ruin the better part of their day. I have the ability to take the dream and not let it affect my day. But I do understand that there are people out there that will dream things at night about a subject that you no longer want to be a part of, and it will ruin your next day. That's freaking scary. I mean, you really need help when it comes to that. All right, send me your info, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U. 1010XL, tell me about your dreams because I care. I'm also very disappointed about the Colin Kaepernick story that has come forward today. I keep hearing that he won. I keep hearing that he didn't win. What was it all about for Colin Kaepernick? Was it about the bottom line, which is the dollars, reportedly $60 to $80 million, some reports say. I thought it was about him making a stand. If you go back and really track history involved with Colin Kaepernick, this was a situation where he took a knee because of police brutality. He was benched at the time, and then he ended up being released after the fact. Colin Kaepernick said that he was blackballed from the National Football League. We used to hear all the time, he's not getting a job because of collusion. And this is what he did, in fact, do. He took the NFL to court. He sued the National Football League for collusion. We used to hear all the time, he's not a good quarterback. That's why he's not in the league. Others will say, well, then how is Jacksonville's Nathan Peterman in the league? How are these other second and third quarterbacks in the league? Isn't Colin Kaepernick a good enough quarterback to at least be a backup in the NFL? It was a great argument. You can make the case for either side. Some would say, yeah, Kaepernick is a good enough quarterback to be a backup and maybe a starter again, but we don't want to take on the mess of what he has created. And I'm saying it, the mess, not from my point of view, but from others who apparently did not want him to be a part of the football team. I mean, listen, it was said about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow won a playoff game. Everyone around here loved Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow couldn't make rosters, and I think the fair question with Tim Tebow was he good enough to be a second or third quarterback in the NFL somewhere? I think some people out there said, you know what, he was, but we didn't want the media mess around us for a backup quarterback. I think some believe that's why he didn't make the New England Patriots. Who wants that media being all over Tim Tebow if he's not even a game day healthy player, one of the 45 who's out there? I think with Kaepernick, some of this came into play as well. But it was much deeper than that. He had his stance. And there was a lot of misinformation about kneeling. and it became an exhaustive story. One that, frankly, I don't think I've touched in the last year plus. But you drop it on us on a Friday, and it's so unsatisfying. We don't know the results. We don't know what happened. The fact that they both agreed, both parties, Kaepernick and the NFL, to keep everything confidential, in my opinion, is the absolute worst case scenario. I really want to know, was there collusion? Was there a paper trail? Do they have information, emails, texts from an owner, from a general manager, from anyone who's a higher up in the NFL that said directly to another, we're not interested in Kaepernick because of these reasons? That could have defined collusion. Don't you, after all of these years of hearing about it, don't you feel like you deserve some sort of an answer? Did Kaepernick get his justice by taking this money to walk away? I thought that he really stood for something. And by standing for something, wasn't he supposed to take this all the way? All the way to force the NFL owners to admit that there was collusion? Okay, they write a check. It becomes hush money. Now, don't even ask the question anymore. Just let it go. That's not good enough for me. We just watched the NFL, including Roger Goodell, take the best player in the history of the game, Tom Brady, to task so far beyond what really they should have. Now, I understand that it's cheating, and it's just like Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. You can't, there are certain rules within the game that you can't break. Pete Rose bet, he's banned from the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady cheated, he had the balls deflated, he missed four games. He did everything to challenge Roger Goodell. Goodell fought him. Goodell fought the New England Patriots and the fans. To this day, there's listeners right now that can't stand Tom Brady. They think he's a cheater. There are people out there that actually believe the only reason why Tom Brady has six Super Bowl rings is because he cheats. Now, let's get to a much more difficult problem. We're talking about collusion in the NFL. We're talking about two totally different opinions. Is he not playing in the league because he's not good enough? Or is he not playing in the league because he has been blackballed? And what do we get on a Friday afternoon? We get nothing. We get it's over, he got paid, and now we're never going to talk about it again. That is a huge disappointment for me, and I hope it's a disappointment for you. Because in my opinion, we didn't accomplish anything, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to voice your opinion. Did Kaepernick win here? By Kaepernick taking the large sum of money, is he the winner? Or did he lose because he should have fought this tooth and nail all the way to the end? Win or lose, Kaepernick should have fought. Instead, he took hush money. Tonight's Exit Real Estate question of the evening is about Colin Kaepernick. If you're going to play the role where you're tired of it and I don't care anymore, fine. You don't have to be a part of it. If you want to be a part of it and you think that you can add something for Kaepernick or against Kaepernick, for NFL or against the NFL, well, damn it, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you right now. 641-1010. If you're going to be a clown, go to a bar somewhere and try to pick up a check. I don't have room for you tonight. I honestly don't. I never say that to the listeners. But in this issue, I do. I only want to hear from people who are bothered by this the way that I am. This is a totally unsatisfactory ending to a story that has been so huge. And we all know what's going to happen. It's going to leak. Everything does. It's going to leak at some point. But it's not going to be enough to satisfy me. Is it enough to satisfy you? Tonight's question brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. Did Colin Kaepernick win by reaching a settlement with the NFL? So far, 80% of those who have participated say yes, he got a hefty paycheck. 20% of you are saying, no, he fought for justice. When we return, it's your opportunity. 641-1010. Also, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL on Twitter. Colin Kaepernick and your thoughts into the night with Rick Ballou.
Into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Colin Kaepernick is really the major story in the world of sports. Taking a long time to get to this. I know for a lot of people it makes their ears bleed. They're tired of it, and I understand it. But the end result is in, and it is newsworthy. I'm unsatisfied with the answer. I wanted to know either way if the NFL was involved in collusion. And now it basically comes down to your opinion. We have zero knowledge as to what really happened. I know it's so easy to say if the NFL paid him, there must have been collusion. And I tend to lean that way. But there's so much of me that wanted to see that if there was collusion, I wanted to become aware of who said it and what proof did they have. So I feel let down in this. And Kaepernick all along said it wasn't about the money. It was about taking a stand. That's why we have asked you tonight. Did he take the stand? Is he the winner? He's got the money. But did he get after what he wanted most? And that was justice. Did he accomplish that, in your opinion? That is the exit real estate question of the night. Let's grab some calls on it. 641-1010. Let's get things started by bringing in Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Rick. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Joe.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of issues in this case. You know, I'm a lawyer, and in these type of collusion cases, the most important thing is they have to have some type of evidence. And so when the arbitrator allowed this to move forward, they were able to get more discovery. And I, like you, I'm curious as to what they have out there or what the owners and league may think they have out there that they're worried about that would have caused him to win an uphill battle in a collusion case from a sports league.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Discovery is an issue. What if they were concerned that the, you know, Garagos camp with Kaepernick, they knew that they were going to be able to discover that the NFL owners or whomever did something wrong, and they took money to walk away. But the point I'm trying to make here, Joe, is wouldn't it have been better for Kaepernick? Wouldn't it have been a much bigger victory for Kaepernick to say, screw that, I'm not going to take the hush money. I've been yelling about this for 3 years. Now we've got you. Let's let everyone out there see what, in fact, we have.
I understand, but there's a lot of risk there, too. It's hard to believe that there wasn't something because he was, you know, I mean, he was a good enough quarterback to even get a backup job. He didn't get a backup job anywhere. But there's a ton of real reasons that the teams have that they didn't draft him. Or they didn't sign him, sorry, mm-hmm. that he didn't fit in with their scheme, that
right.
he was getting older in his career. So I think Kaepernick had risk if he went forward because those collusion cases are an uphill battle. He basically has to prove that he would have absolutely gotten a job, and he has to prove that what he would have earned in that beyond league minimum for his years of contract, his years in the league, his best league years. So I do see that there is an advantage to eliminating that risk.
Joe, there's no question in my mind that Colin Kaepernick is a good enough quarterback where in 2017 and 2018 where he could have been a backup somewhere. There's no question in my opinion. Just look at some of the backups. I think what you saw was that teams, for one reason or another, didn't want to take on that amount of stress because the media was going to go crazy. They probably were going to be hearing that we're not going to buy season tickets if you sign him because it was just going to be a problem for organizations. But I want that proof. That's the point that I'm trying to make here is that I want to see a general manager or an owner somewhere who left a paper trail that said we're not going to sign him because of these reasons.
Well, it's interesting. I think, Rick, if internally those documents are there, it's okay. And look at Tim Tebow, right? A lot of teams didn't want to sign Tim Tebow because of the circus that he brought with him, because of the media, the attention, the scrutiny. So I mean, I think that the collusion is where one owner then sends an email to another owner or coach to coach or GM to GM and says, let's none of us sign him because it's going to create problems. That's what they had to prove, not internal of one organization, but from one team to another.
All right, just give me your gut feeling on this. Do you think there was collusion?
I don't know. I think the NFL is a lot smarter than that. And if there was, I doubt there was a smoking gun on it. But there was enough risk to both sides to get it done and get it done quietly.
Well, boy, if there wasn't collusion and they paid out reportedly $60 to $80 million for this just to go away, that is baffling.
You miss what I said there. There's no evidence of collusion.
Yeah, there is no evidence of collusion, but, I mean, there's evidence of a serious paycheck.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if these owners talk to each other, they're in the meetings, I would be willing to bet many of them have said, I'm not signing him because of X, Y, and Z. You know, just expressing their opinion, whether or not that rises to collusion is another story. But, you know, Kaepernick, he got paid.
Yep.
And the league, the black eye is over, hopefully.
Yep, we'll see. Joe, thank you. There he goes. Joe, one of our good listeners, and also his law firm is one of our dear friends here on Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Of course, that is called truckcrashlaw.com. Coming up next hour, they will provide for you, as they do each and every night, Truth Teller News and Notes. Great firm, does some great stuff. Listen, teams will red flag guys all the time. You're going to hear about that in 2 weeks of the NFL Combine. We saw that with Ray Rice. We thought we might see that with Kareem Hunt. I remember what it was like when Greg Hardy came in here for an interview. You see that. Guys do things that are bad. Teams don't want to sign them for one reason or another. Do they talk to other owners? Do GMs talk to other GMs? I don't know. But this is a totally different story. This is unlike anything that we have ever seen before. And I think a lot of people out there believe, and I want to get back to your calls right now, that by bringing this check, by taking this amount of money, there had to have been some form of collusion. Yet I thought it would have been very difficult to prove collusion. I'm not a lawyer like Joe is, who is called. I'm a talk show host. Let's go to Danny. Danny, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
So I absolutely think it's a win-win for Colin Kaepernick in the aspect that Colin Kaepernick now, during this whole collusion thing, I think he was blackballed by all the owners, but he wasn't able to play in the league as long as he was blackballed, as long as there was this case going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go ahead and end this case, and with everything going on, a lot of owners and teams have realized they could use them. They need them. As you see, a lot more injuries in the game, especially at that position and how important that position is. He's still in his prime.
Right.
And from what I understand, he's still staying in pretty good shape. So it's a win-win for him. He takes the money. Not that it's about the money, but he got his name out there. He got his stance was heard and seen. Now, I myself am a vet as well. I'm 100% disabled vet at that. So in the beginning, it was very hurtful to me, and I was very pissed off about it. However, after you read into it a little more and you understand where he came from, who he collaborated with prior to making this stand, then you kind of go, okay, I understand where he's coming from. And some people say, well, that's the wrong stage. Well, what other stage? That is the biggest stage you could be on, and that was what his job was. So for you and I to take a stand at work, that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why he did it and the stage that he did it on. And therefore, I don't disagree with him any longer. I just wish it would have been maybe slightly a little different.
Yeah.
But it made me do a little more research and a little more background checking on the situation at hand. And it brought it to light. And therefore, a lot of police officers in the interim have been charged, dismissed, let go. So I think it absolutely brought to light what he wanted to bring to light. And in the meantime, they want to settle and make it go away. Great, let's settle, let's make it go away. Now he can get back on the field, because just like any other business, you can't go into an establishment that you have currently have a lawsuit against and work for them. Well, now that there's no lawsuit, they paid him off, he can go back to work for them.
Danny, thanks for the call, and thank you as well for serving us. We certainly do appreciate that. There was a ton of misinformation that was out there, especially right here in a military town. I mean, it was never about that. But, you know, this was supposed to be about police brutality. I was in London when the NFL players communicated with one another. And, you know, how many players on that Sunday took a knee a couple of years ago? It was very surprising when it happened. I don't, you know, I'm a reporter. I'm a talk show host. I had no clue that that was going to happen. When I was on the sideline there at Wembley Stadium, they made a point. But I think that the way that people reacted, they didn't understand the total story. It was never about the military. Yet a lot of people, because, listen, we get our information in 20 to 30 second increments. And you can follow someone on Twitter that you really like and he may be a role model to you or whoever it is, and he or she can drop a tweet that can be totally misguided. Yet you have such a feeling, a positive feeling for that individual, that you're going to take that tweet and that becomes a lot of your news, a lot of the way that you feel to a story. And I'm not only talking about Kaepernick here. I'm talking about anything. Really severe situations, politics, religion, whatever. If you idolize someone and they have an opinion, that may be good enough for you without really getting knee-deep into the facts. So what's great about sports is that sports is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be vicious like it is politically speaking. This story here with Colin Kaepernick was about a protest. It was about him protesting. He was blackballed. And now we don't know the result because it's confidential. You know, I mean, this is a life story. This isn't a fiction-filled mystery-type novel or, you know. I didn't want this to be like the end of The Sopranos. Where, you know, they start playing the Journey music and they trip going across the street. You see Tony in the restaurant. He ordered a little hors d'oeuvre for the table. But you don't know what happened. And there you go. You're like, wait a minute. I just spent the last 10 years watching The Sopranos and you just took it off the air and you didn't tell me how it ended. Now I got to figure this out on my own. That's what I'm doing here with Kaepernick. It's like, you got to be kidding me. At least at the end of the Tom Brady situation, we had the end result. Brady cheated. Brady deflated the balls. We had it. And anything else you could do on your own. He wouldn't have 6 Super Bowls because he deflated balls. Or he would still have the 6 Super Bowls. At least we had it. And you know what? That's kind of gone away. I mean, he lost the Super Bowl last year to Philly. He didn't. New England did. And he just won one 2 weeks ago. That whole deflate gate, didn't that kind of go... Didn't that just go away? Because I think the general public are satisfied with the answer. Whether you agree or disagree, you're satisfied with the answer. Who's going to be satisfied with this answer? We don't know what happened. And that's disappointing to me. More calls coming up in hour number two. Truck Crash Law will bring us Truth Teller news and notes. I got some interesting ones to dive in tonight on that, including the very latest at Florida State, where today they fire a coach. Wow. Mid-February in their firing coaches. So we got a ton to do. Glad you're with us. Into the Night continues. My name's Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, looking forward to hearing some music as well this weekend. I don't even know who's playing in Daytona. Do you know?
I haven't even checked it yet, no.
Yeah, I mean, remember the time with Miller Lite when Spurrier was there because he's a Coors Light drinker, and he's, where's Zach at? Looking for Zach Brown. They had Kid Rock there a couple of years ago. I mean, Kid Rock's okay. I just am amazed at how he can make such a career out of himself from stealing material from everyone else. He was great when he was here with Skinner, and he got on stage for like an hour and a half. Very end of the show, he had a drummer playing for like an hour and 20 minutes until Kid Rock chased him off stage and went out there and did the drum solo.
This looks like it's this year's. I'm hoping this is, but it says Toby Keith, Chris Stapleton, Dierks Bentley, and Sugarland are the headliners.
All four are going to be at Daytona.
Those are some pretty big names.
Yeah. Stapleton, didn't he steal a song and make it huge, like that Tennessee Whiskey? Or,
yeah,
I know what's going on in
the
country.
He sings Tennessee
Whiskey. I just pretend I don't.
He's huge, man. He's breaking records lately.
Dierks Bentley. Kind of like Dirk Cutter, which we'll be getting into here in just a little bit in news and notes. On Jameis. Which is a disturbing story. Or is it? I mean, everyone seems to have an opinion there, but then you look at like Baker Mayfield and what he did with Hugh. Let's give Baker a pass. Jameis, not so much. Sorry, Jameis. You're going to have to face some criticism. Baker? Oh, no. Baker can do whatever he wants. No one's going to say a bad word about Baker. You know that's the way it is. Hey, last night, I'm just kind of hanging out. I'm watching some hoops. What else was I doing last night? Oh, it was Valentine's.
Weren't you taking out the trash?
I did. I took out the trash, the new homestead, Valentine's, all that good stuff. Tiger Woods, by the way, 3-under. Let me get the latest here on Tiger, if this is updated. An eagle for Tiger. One moment ago on the very first hole, which for him today is the 10th hole. So Tiger Woods, who shot a 1-under-70, which he completed this afternoon, went out today, birdied 10, birdied 12, bogeyed 16, bogeyed 18, so he went out shooting a 36, but now he has made the turn and has posted an eagle on the par 5 first hole. So Tiger Woods overall now has it at 3-under-par with 8 to play, chasing two golfers at 9-under. Justin Thomas, who he's playing with, he's part of that threesome, which also includes Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott at -9. J.B. Holmes, very long off the tee. You know, if you do go to TPC, and, you know, 17 is all the rage, and I got it. But what I've always enjoyed, you know, if you're like a first or second or third time going there and you're still looking for new things to do, one of the great, I've always felt, things to be a part of is just watch these guys hit balls on the range. Watch them putt. Watch them chip. Watch them work on their mechanics. I would watch J.B. Holmes a year ago here at the Players. Just destroys a golf ball. I mean, just crushes it. Luke List at -7, Keegan Bradley at -7, Jordan Spieth at -7. And Bryson DeChambeau, who many believe was called out by Keegan, not Keegan, but by Brooks Koepka, the former Knoll, for taking way too long on the tour, even though he didn't use his name or mention it the way he did with Sergio Garcia, who he basically called the child for carving up the bunkers the way that he did. But anyway, back to NASCAR for just a moment. So last night I'm just kind of hanging out, and I don't know what it is that I'm doing, but I get a message from Manzi, Scott Manzi, the voice of JU. And he sends me, I guess last night after the Twins, there was a documentary about the rivalry between Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon. And he took a still photo from the television of me getting ready to interview Dale Earnhardt in 1997 right there at Daytona. And I'm decked out in a Boston Bruins sweatshirt, and there's Dale. I mean, that is really cool. And I had a couple of other people said that they thought they saw me on TV. I was talking with Alex Lamb today. He told me that I would have had no idea because I didn't watch it. I watched something else. But, I mean, that was really, really cool. And, yeah, this is going to be my 25th Daytona 500. 25 out of the last 27. Thank you to Miller Lite. I think now this will be 12 straight with Miller Lite, maybe 11. But I save all my press passes and all my badges or whatever, so I'm looking forward to getting out there tomorrow. And you mentioned the talent that is going to be out there, country-type talent.
I'm a huge artist.
Mm-hmm.
A couple others there. Billy Currington, too, part of the lineup, one of my favorites.
Now, how are they going to pull all this off? I mean, it's only, you know, it's pre-race.
Right? Probably yeah. Starting pretty early, you'd think.
Yeah, I don't know. And they do it right there in the infield, so... It's going to be fun, no question about that. All right, a lot of emails coming in tonight, or I should say a lot of tweets, very controversial, as I would expect, on Twitter as well as on the Duval Ford text line. What I love about subjects like this is that everyone's right. And you can kind of make that case about sports in general, that you always believe that you are correct and perhaps you don't want to see the other side or consider the other side. It's, I'm right. This is what happened. End of story. Let's move on. And I understand that that's sports in general. Hey, listen. Here comes my nightly Nick Foles mention, because I told you I'd mention him every night for the next 68 days until the NFL draft comes and goes. There are people right now that are sold on the fact that this team needs to draft Nick Foles. Your mind is made up. There's not anyone out there that can tell you differently. There's not anyone out there that can tell you that this team would be better off going out and bringing in Teddy Bridgewater and then drafting Dwayne Haskins. It's not going to happen. You're a sports fan. Your mind is made up. You want Nick Foles. Now, the exact opposite may take place. You may be in that Dwayne Haskins camp, which personally, he's the guy I've always wanted. I want Dwayne Haskins. I know he's only started 14 games. I know that those who are against him have compared him mechanically with a lack of mobility to Byron Leftwich. I still think he's the best option. People in that camp don't want to hear the name Nick Foles. They don't want to hear anyone else. No one's going to change your mind. That's what's great. And that's about something that involves this in the world of football. But again, I think it becomes more complex when you actually talk about a story that is going on that is so important, like what we saw tonight with Colin Kaepernick. But that's just the way that people are. That's the way they're wired. I'm not going to change. I'm not here to try to change your opinion. Your opinion's set. I'm just saying I'm disappointed in it. And some people are upset that I am disappointed in it. Yeah, I wanted an end result. Am I surprised by this result? Not at all. Am I disappointed by the result? Yes. I wanted to be taken all the way. But I'll leave it at that. I will. If you still want to respond, you can. Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. And you can get me on the text line at 641-1010. All right, Truck Crash Law. They bring you truth teller news and notes, and we need to get to them tonight because there's a host of things that I really want to talk about, including what in the heck is going on over in Tallahassee with Florida State. I'll give Willie Taggart this. Boy, did he use patience, because I was all about the quick trigger. They didn't go to a bowl game for like the first time ever. Okay? I mean, it was like the first time that Florida, I mean, and I wanted coaches' heads literally rolling at that point. I wanted them gone. He said, no. I need them all for recruiting. And they didn't end up having a good recruiting class. But he said that he was going to make changes. So let's come back. We'll talk about that. It's the lead story on News and Notes. And I'm just wondering tonight if Seminole fans are going into this weekend with a little bit of a different feel. That even though it's an offensive line coach and it's Greg Fry and he's one of yours, or dare I say ours, as I'm an FSU grad myself, does this show that he's not afraid to make changes? He's just going to do it when he wants to, not when you want him to. News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Coming up next.
ESPN Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, college baseball underway. How about that? Well, the Noles took on the Black Bears of Maine, which were, I grew up in Boston. That was like the prize school. I don't remember that a legendary coach's name. Might have been John Winkle, perhaps. I mean, we're really going back into the 80s. But, I mean, if you could play ball up east, that was really the school that you wanted to go to. The Maine Black Bears were it when it came to baseball. And I played with a couple of good kids who made it out and played it, went to North Carolina and Wake Forest and a couple of places like that. I mean, kids never came down here, not from there. Outside of Glavin, who, of course, went straight into the draft, both hockey and baseball, and Pete Smith, who was on the Atlanta Braves rotation for a couple of years. But, I mean, that was it. I mean, Maine was like the heavy. And last I saw, I think it was 11-0 final today for the Noles. Gators play today, baseball. I didn't see anything on them.
Yes, I think they do. Actually, I see a couple of people tweeting photos out at the stadium, so I think they're in action tonight.
JU and UNF beginning. I mean, so how cool is that? It's the 15th day of February, and college baseball underway. Of course, spring training happening throughout our state, but that's very cool. And I miss the old days. I mean, here we go again, but we miss the old days. But I do. I mean, they really reduced the schedule. I liked it when they used to play 20-some-odd more games. A lot easier to set your rotation now in college baseball, but, I mean, it's about moving forward, right? You want to get from college to where you're drafted. And when you get to minor league baseball, guess what? You're playing every night. And you're traveling on a bus until you make it to the show. And a lot of guys don't end up making it to the show. And they don't get paid a lot of money. And there's a lot of bumps and bruises and a ton of downtime in baseball. It is by far, in my opinion, the toughest sport to make. Because there's so many other kids who can continue their career. I mean, it's pretty easy in football. If you're a high school football star, you may have a shot at Division I. You may have a shot at a level below that. But guess what? Chances are if you're at a shot below that, a level below that, what is the percentage that they make it? And obviously, what is the percentage of Division I college athletes making it to NFL? It's like 1% or less there than 1%. But a lot of kids play high school, they just go away. That's not the case. You can play community college baseball. You can play junior college baseball. You know, you may be 18, you may be 17, you graduate, you don't have the grades yet. Your online classes, you're still able to play Babe Ruth a year. You're still able to play Legion ball a year. You go to a three-year school, you know, or that's the limit, 3 years out of high school before you can go. You can go to regular college. You can get drafted out of high school. I mean, there's so many obscure leagues and stuff that you just don't know about. Totally different from football. Hockey in the NBA, I mean, yeah, but chances are a lot of that stuff is in other countries where you can try to work on your skills there. I just love the game. And pitching is always going to be a premium in the great game of Major League Baseball. I want to do that eventually, maybe next week, maybe early March. I don't know, Combine early March, then TPC. It's so damn busy around here. Who dare would say there's something, anything to talk about in sports? I mean, all these rule changes are just proposals are so wrong. I mean, they're really considering lowering the mound even more? You're going to turn Major League Baseball into beer league softball. You can have guys coming up there every night striking out in the first, fourth, and seventh, then hitting a three-run homer in the ninth. Last year, Major League Baseball, the most home runs the game has ever had. It was also the most strikeouts the game has ever had. Can anyone bunt anymore? When's the last time you've seen a Major League Baseball team manufacture a run? Leadoff walk, bunt them the second. Base hit, score them. Lead off double, bunt them to third, sack fly, bam. Teams don't play for one run anymore. No, they play for the old Earl Weaver back in the 1970s. We'll play for the three-run homer. All right, enough of that. Time for news and notes. Brought to you each and every night by TruckCrashLaw.com. They are outstanding because this is what they do. They are there for you. It's as simple as this. And it's awful to think about, but it does happen. If there is a horrific accident involved with a bus, a tractor trailer, an RV, and you lost the loved one, or a loved one or a good friend was injured, go to the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is their expertise. They're the only people who deal with this. You need to go to truckcrashlaw.com. That's truckcrashlaw.com. Let's get to Tallahassee. First up, Greg Fry out, the offensive line coach. One and done at Florida State. Fired today by Willie Taggart. Willie said all the right things. His dedication, his effort, his expertise. But it was time to go in a different direction. Randy Clements comes on over now from Houston. He joins Kendall Briles, will run the offense at Florida State. Don't let anyone confuse you here. This is a move that was based simply on the fact that they feel they have a better coach in place now than they did earlier today. That is the reason for this. And it had been rumored forever. I mean, the Randy Clements was supposed to be a package deal with Kendall Briles, going back to the day that Briles came in after Walt Bell left as the offensive coordinator and became the head coach at the University of Massachusetts. So for those of you wondering, the changes now, Kendall Briles will be the quarterback coach, and he'll call plays as the offensive coordinator. Former Seminole Ron Dugans has left Miami, and he is now back working with Willie Taggart, where he was once a wide receiver coach at South Florida. He's back at Florida State, where Dugans had a great career. You know, he was the guy next to Peter Warwick and at times next to Lavernius Coles before Coles got thrown out of school. Ron Dugans ended up having a very good career for Florida State. Underrated. Randy Clements will now be the offensive line coach. Terry Lockett remains your tight end coach. And Dante Pimbleton is the running backs coach. There is some talk that there could be possibly a little bit of activity defensively. You know, I see that Mark Schneider is a DE coach still. There's been some who have wondered if he will remain in that position when it's all said and done. Odell Hagan's inside as a defensive tackle guy. Raymond Woody, his son, is now on the team. He's the linebacker coach. You know, Harlan Barnett has been the defensive coordinator. He's also has been overseeing defensive backs. There's been some talk that maybe they will try to bring in another coach there. Terrell Buckley's name is always mentioned. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But anyway, Florida State goes out and makes moves today with their coaching staff this late in the process. You know, Jim Leavitt is now available. Love to see, in any capacity, Jim Leavitt be a part of the staff. I have no indication, zero indication, that that is in fact going to be the case. But, I mean, any glimmer of hope tonight at all? I mean, can I even throw that out to you? Can I be Mr. looking through the rose-colored glasses, Baloo, on a Friday night when it comes to the beloved? Why do I feel okay about this? Why do I feel, dare I even say, good? I mean, I have felt so awful about this football team really since their opening drive against Virginia Tech. I think right now tonight is the best I've felt yet. And I'm not sure why. But it looks like Landon Dickerson could pull himself back off that transfer portal. There's been a couple of things I've seen on that today. Nothing definitive, but at least it's being rumored. And it does make you wonder, did Greg Fry have anything to do with that? I don't know why. I mean, the guy played two games and was injured. Is that Greg Fry's fault? Did Greg Fry get on about his rehabilitation? I mean, there's, again, more questions than answered. Greg Fry is out. Randy Clements is in. Jameis Winston apparently didn't listen to Dirk Cutter, and he's getting blasted for this. I understand that people dislike Jameis because of his past transgressions, but I kidded about it a little bit earlier in the program. Different rules, different people. The NFL community can't wait to pile on Jameis. If there's a situation, and oh, by the way, not listening to Dirk Cutter after he was benched, that is poor. That is poor. Okay? I mean, listen, we talked about T.J. Yeldon, Leonard Fournette here not listening to Ty Wheatley. It's poor. It's also kind of the way things work when you're losing and a coach could be on his outs, whatever. But I can't help but think about Baker Mayfield and Hugh Douglas and then Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter. And honestly, do I really need to say anything else? Just consider those two stories and take it from there. And if you don't believe that NFL peeps don't have a totally different agenda on both, then you are freaking crazy. Because Baker Mayfield was a punk rookie who basically did and said whatever he wanted to Hugh Jackson. Because he was scarred because Hugh didn't want to play him. He wanted to play Ty Taylor. And to this day, everyone loves Baker. If you saw Baker right now, I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a barn animal. You know what you're going to do? You're going to stick your tongue in Baker's ear. Everyone loves Baker. But with Jameis, oh, the audacity. It's Jameis. He didn't listen to Dirk. Oh, Jameis is such a bad guy. Jameis, oh, yeah. That's the world we live in. Matt Kuchar today. Cooch, They were saying, cheap. How did you do this to yourself, Matt Kuchar? Reportedly now, he'll pay out 50 large. Should have done it a long time ago. Will he get a break? He'll be here in 3 weeks. I hope so. I really hope you give it to him. Give him the break, that is. I want to say that I think that this golfing community, this golfing gallery, all right? I almost called you patrons. Imagine the Freudian slip if I did that. There's only patrons in Augusta, not here at the Players. Give the guy a break. He made a mistake. He's paid for it. There were folks today in Los Angeles calling him cheap when he was burying putts. Not the classic Cooch. We all make mistakes. Time to let this one go. Bill Walton last night talked about his suicide that he nearly committed 10 years ago. It was really disturbing, but also it really sent a message last night. He doing a broadcast along with Dave Pasha and ESPN. Bill Walton has been the highest of highs, no pun intended, and the lowest of lows. He actually considered suicide 10 years ago when he was fired by ESPN and he had those mammoth back problems. He had surgery. He's rededicated himself. He loves life now, but he brought that out last night. And I thought it really meant a lot. Because I think everyone out there has been surrounded perhaps by someone who has considered committing suicide, just how brutal that situation can be, mental health. When you have someone like Bill Walton coming out saying that he had massive problems and he overcame it, I think it sends a powerful message to anyone else out there who may be having a down Friday and a down weekend. That's you. Brother, get yourself some help. Find some friends. Find some family. Help yourself. Bill Walton said it last night. I totally agree. Antonio Brown liked the tweet that said that Ben Roethlisberger raped a girl. I understand making your point. I also understand that when you make your point, maybe some not so positive things can happen to you. It's happened to me. But liking a rape tweet just to compare the situation there to what he continues to be investigated upon now with that domestic charge last month. Come on, Antonio. Come on, man. We just spent, what was it, LeVay? Monday night show, Tuesday night show. We totally lived in a fiction-filled world. We were talking about the possibility of Antonio Brown coming here and playing. What night was that?
Pretty sure that was Monday night.
I don't remember. Things around here, I mean, geez, we've been doing this show now for, what is it, 2.5, 3 years?
Something like that.
Nights with Baloo.
Many moons.
The only thing better with Knights with Blue is Coleman and Thompson that are coming up in 28 minutes. I mean, Knights around here, we freaking rock. But come on, Antonio Brown. I mean, here I am laying out for you. And you drop something like this on us. You can't like a rape tweet. Man, unbelievable. Finally, I hate ending on negative terms. I really, really, really do. But how in the hell are the Boston Red Sox allowing Chris Berman to call some games this year? I mean, please. If anyone out there can give me one reason that is positive as to why this is happening, I will take you out and fill you up with unlimited amounts of Miller Lite and Jameson until you cannot see. And I'll provide a ride home. All I need is one good answer, one good reason. Why would the Boston Red Sox allow Chris Berman to come call games? Chris Berman, what does he at all have to do with the Boston Red Sox? I mean, I think he went to school there at like BU, but he was like a New Jersey guy or a New York guy. This is what really POs me about the Red Sox. I almost liked it better when, nah, screw that. I was going to say when we were starving and we were left at the altar and became like the runaway bride and all that stuff. Oh, Johnny Pesky, you know, didn't throw the ball. Oh, Luis Aparicio, he booted that ball. Bucky effing dead. Oh, my God. I mean, all these things that crushed it. It goes through Buckner's legs. Which Rich Gredman doing in a crouch? With Bob Stanley, oh, bouncing ball. I mean, all these nightmares. Aaron freaking Boone. At least then there was a little bit of personality. There was a little bit of class to being a loser. Now you win, and hey, look at Susie. Susie tonight's wearing a pink T-shirt, and it has written, you know, it's embroidered in pink. It's a pink and green shirt. It's the newest thing there for the Boston Red Sox. And you see the games on Sunday night on ESPN, because I watch every game. You see them, and they'll show, like, Ben Affleck there with, like, six really hot chicks. And they're sitting in the front row. And they're all wearing pink hats and green shirts and all looking into their cell phones. They don't even know who's playing or what's going on. That's the same damn thing management's doing now. WEEI is hiring Chris Berman to do Boston Red Sox games? Time for a drink, LeVay. Get me out of here. Tonight, brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. News and notes each and every evening. If a loved one or a friend has been injured, even if they were killed on the road, go to the only law firm in the state of Florida that deals with this full-time. The great folks at truckcrashlaw.com. You may go to another lawyer. You may do it that way. Guess what? When it's all said and done, you're going to end up with the folks at truckcrashlaw.com. This is their expertise, and this is what they do. truckcrashlaw.com. All right, final thoughts about the race coming up tomorrow. I haven't really talked about it. Actually, let's make that on Sunday, and I'll let you know what's going on as well. A little bit of movement here atop the leaderboard out at Riviera. That's coming up right here into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Who are they talking about, LeVay? Is that you or is that me when they're saying that we're hip?
Pretty sure that's all you, Rick. RB3.
Don't lie to me. RB3 doesn't come into play until the month of March.
Rick and hip? I mean, that has a nice little tone to it.
What do you got going on tonight? You've been producing Denny and James all week. You doing that tonight? You got off?
One more night. We're rocking with the guys tonight.
Yeah, I'm off next Friday night, playing a little golf in the Dominican Republic for 3 days.
You taking the driver?
Nope. Mine going to bring it with me in the bag. I left it in the bag today. Only played 9 holes at Southampton, but let's see. Aside from the 2 par 3s, leaves me with 7 drives. I think I hit 5 drives well. The other 2 were playable. And that's really all you can ask for when you have my skill set is I'll sacrifice yards for being in the fairway, for being straight. And no, I'm not into the quote-unquote old man golf part of my life. I can still really hit a driver far. I just have no idea where it's going. Just zero clue where it's going off the tee. And it's really like a four wood that I'm hitting. It's like an old Cleveland. I went back and I found it, and I'm just loving it right now. Matter of fact, I may take it to bed with me tonight. I'm having so much fun with it. I mean, I know that's supposed to be only for putters like Billy Baru and stuff like that, that you treat your putter that way. But that's how good I actually do feel about this this four wood. And today I hold out on the par 3 7th from like 80 yards out with a chip for a birdie. So that made me happy. And that's all I need is a shot like that every once in a while in order for me to go back and play again. What a great day out there. Oh, my God, it was perfect. It was like 70 degrees, and it was just outstanding. And that is in great shape right now over there at Southampton. Great golf course, and really enjoyed that. So hopefully you folks out there listening right now will get a chance to play this week, and I think the weather's supposed to behave and do its part, and it's a great time of year. Hopefully it'll continue to be the same. You know, as I said earlier in the show, when I go to the Daytona 500 every year, and it would be so ugly in Chicago those 7 years. I mean, I'm talking single digits as far as the weather, and I worked late night from 10 to 2, 9 to 1 Chicago time. It'd be so cold getting to my truck after the show, and just the weather and the wind is brutal, and I loved that I was so lucky that during this week in February, I would fly to Daytona every year and get to do my shows there at the Southside, the Daytona Beach Ale House, which is still up, and cover the race and do all those great things. But oftentimes the weather in Daytona was just terrible. Now, anything was better than Chicago, but there were days where it was in the 50s and the 60s and it was raining. Now, I know that, you know, now that I've lived here most of my life, right? But you wanted a day like today. That's the point I'm trying to make. When you're in Chicago for all those months and it's so bad and you get a taste of 40, like, come on, just be 70 and give me the sun. And if you can get that, what else could you ask for? Hopefully that'll be the case of the Daytona 500 this year. That's been, to me, one of the biggest concerns that event has had. I can't tell you how many I've been to. This is my 25th. Actually, I can tell you. But 25 times the last 27 years, man, there has been a ton of rain delays. And there's been situations where it's been pushed back until Monday. And it's just gotten real ugly. And, you know, I think people have wondered, would be better off to push back the Daytona 500, the start date. Instead of making it this weekend in February, should you turn things around a little bit and drop it in March or April? I don't know. And we saw the PGA Tour, how they've changed their schedule, so they're not going head-to-head now with the NFL playoffs, or the PGA Tour playoffs are not going head-to-head with the NFL, is what I should say. Not the NFL playoffs, but you know what I'm getting at. You know, the result of that is we get the players in 3 weeks. If you get days like today, the players are going to be fine. But look at what it was on, like, Wednesday. We had, like, a great Monday, Tuesday, even a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I think it was Wednesday where all of a sudden you just woke up and you're like, my gosh, I'd never say it, but I think I heard someone say the weather's a little bit like women. They just can't make up their damn mind. That didn't come from me, LaVey. You know that. I heard that. I would never say it. 24 years ago today, you know what happened? Bill Belichick was fired by the Cleveland Browns. Why today? Why mid-February? Happened 24 years ago today. How many NFL teams over the last, let's say, 18 years have been kicking themselves saying, where were we when this took place? Fired in Cleveland. And this wasn't a Black Monday firing. This was a mid-February firing, 24 years ago today. One other interesting NFL story, which we'll talk about next week as we get closer to the NFL Combine. How about Kyler Murray's agent, who he just hired two or three days ago, the same agent as Cliff Kingsbury, now saying that Kyler Murray weighs 205 pounds? So Kyler Murray is going to weigh in at, we believe, 5'9" 7/8", 205 pounds. That young man is put together. Can't wait to see what he does. I hope he works out. He can make every throw. I want the Jags to take Haskins. I do not want the Jags to take Murray. And my reason for that is I still think that his body is not going to be able to take the NFL punishment. But he can make every throw. He is going to set the league on fire during his pro day, which is March 17th. And then, of course, the NFL combine for him is February 27th through the early part of March. He is going to strike one and strike two right there. And he is going to run up the first round of the NFL draft. I've told you this a couple of times. I'll continue to repeat it. In the last 25 years of the National Football League draft, there has only been one season out of those 25 where a quarterback did not go in the top five picks of the draft. Right now, if you look at the top five teams in this year's draft, not one of those five are in need of a quarterback. You could make the case about Oakland at four, but they just allowed that guarantee of Derek Carr to kick in. So what does that mean? Someone's trading up. And if you want to say Denver's trading up, you may say, no, not going to happen. They just signed Joe Flacco. Oh, really? Well, last year Cleveland signed Ty Taylor. They drafted Baker Mayfield. Last year the Jets signed Teddy Bridgewater and McCown, and they traded Bridgewater to New Orleans. They drafted Darnold. Last year, Arizona gave $20 million to Sam Bradford. They drafted Josh Rosen. So in this copycat world of the National Football League, just because John Elway in Denver just traded for Joe Flacco doesn't mean that they will not trade up from number 10 into the top five to get a quarterback. And you know Miami's lurking, and you know Washington is lurking. And unfortunately, you know the New York Giants are right ahead of the Jaguars at number six. But you need more bodies. So I wanted Justin Herbert to come out. And right now what you need is Kyler Murray to rip it up so he moves ahead, at least in some eyes, Dwayne Haskins. I think Haskins is the guy. The other interesting one is going to be Daniel Jones, because you know he's going to test well. And you know you're going to hear how smart he is and how Cutcliffe's going to compare him to Eli and Peyton. And he kind of looks like the Coughlin guy, doesn't he? Prototypical drop-back passer out of Duke. Didn't that have Tom Coughlin written all over it? Fascinating stuff. We'll continue to monitor this, keep you updated day after day. We get closer to the NFL draft. All right, quick update from Riviera. Justin Thomas with yet another birdie after a 66, which he wrapped up today, playing some great golf, minus five so far throughout this round. He and Adam Scott both at 10 under. J.B. Holmes at minus nine. Jordan Spieth at minus seven. Let me look for Tiger. At last look, Tiger Woods, I had him at three under par. I'm at the threes right now, and I don't see him. I'm going up into the fours. Do I see a Tiger Woods? I do not. That means I'm going to have to unfortunately drop to the twos here. Come on, Tiger. Guys like me, we live through you. We need you to play well. At Riviera, where he missed the cut there a year ago. All right, latest look on Tiger Woods. After his eagle on one, which was his 10th hole today because he played the backside first, Tiger goes off on one, has an eagle on the par five first hole. Ugh. Consecutive bogeys now for Tiger on hole two and three. Well, we got it at 850 here. That means it's 550 in Los Angeles. So let's see, the sun rises here, and then it moves here. So what are you guessing, LeVay? How much more sun in L.A. tonight? Come on. What do you give me? Another hour?
I'd say another like 45 minutes.
45 minutes, says Glavay. Okay. You're not going to finish his round. He's going to have to get it tomorrow in the morning. But, you know, Tiger Woods right now at minus one, that is a projected cut line. He's right on that. Remember, 1 year ago, he did miss the cut at Riviera, and he has never won a golf tournament out at the Genesis Open.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, James Coleman is here. It is time for the Sports Den. How are you?
Man, I'm tired.
Are you?
Worked hard today.
Yeah, working with some young prospects.
Young prospects, payroll. Florida, some things happened in Tallahassee today. Nothing really major.
Yeah.
Stuff that it's not shocking to me. I told people this was going to happen back in December. Like, so when I'm glad it finally happened because I'm tired of people keep asking me.
Why the delay?
Recruiting. Had to shuffle some guys around. Tag is trying to get the coaching staff to look like he wanted it to look like in the beginning. You got to get David Kelly the waiver so that he can be more in control of recruiting and organization, which helps him with off-the-field stuff. And, you know, they were FSU and Houston had this little, measuring contest over buyouts. So I think a lot of those things got squared away. We'll see. There's still some more staff changes on the way.
Yeah, and, you know, Terrell Buckley's been mentioned as a defensive back coach. I mean, is that something that you first see?
No, but that is a name. I would love nothing more than that name, but that's not the name that I'm thinking. But it will be a coach from the SEC, though.
It will be a coach from the SEC. All right, what about Jim Leavitt? Is he coming to play here at all?
Only if he's able to get an off-field role as an analyst. I don't see Jim Leavitt doing this. But Jim Leavitt has about 2.5 million reasons to just chill. But I think he realizes that his dream of being a head coach is probably over.
So, I mean, Hagans is there. Barnett is there. Woody is there. His son just became part of the team. Is it Mark Schneider?
No. Right now, you still have one spot if David Kelly does indeed get the waiver. Right. So you still have one spot left. I think everybody else will still be there. Remember, Tag said he wasn't guaranteeing any coaching changes, only if he can make upgrades. And I think he did make an upgrade for Briles for the offensive line coach. Coach Fry is a good coach. He got dealt a bad hand. He did some really good things last year. I think he'll get on his feet. I think just the timing sucks, but there's never a great time to get let go. But he's got two twins that he just had, so You know, my thoughts go with his family. But he's not leaving empty-handed. He's still going to get about $650,000.
Yeah, and I was told earlier today that again he was in the hospital. Both his twins are in the hospital. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope those things are okay. But as my friend Sean King down with South Florida says, you know, I have a job today. That's all I can worry about is if I have a job today. So that's kind of the coaching circuit.
Yeah. As I said earlier, I finally feel pretty good. It's the best I've felt about the Noles in a long time. It's been a rough week. Nick Cross and then Lander Dickerson. Then all of a sudden you hear tonight that Dickerson may pull out. And yeah, Fry out. Randy Clements in. I mean,
the transfer portal thing is just – FSU media is interesting to say the least. It's again, reality TV coverage. Mm-hmm. It's not coverage the way that everybody else gets covered. The transfer portal doesn't mean you're gone. There are some protocols that have to follow. The kid was just thinking.
Dipping your toe in the water.
Yeah, and apparently he thought, pulled out, and then it just never got reported that he pulled out.
There you go. All right, look forward to James Coleman and Denny Thompson coming up right now. Matt LaVey, have a great weekend. As you go, give us the final results of tonight's poll brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery.
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there. Did Colin Kaepernick win by reaching a settlement with the NFL? Well, 76% of the audience says yes, he got a hefty paycheck, so he is a winner. Meanwhile, just 24% say no. There's still more justice to be fought for.
All right, folks, have a great weekend. For those of you making your way to Daytona on Sunday, I will see you there. We'll be back on Monday from 7 to 9 into the night with Rick Ballew Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 to 9. Tuesday night, we're with you from 8 until 10 o'clock. Have a great weekend. My name is Rick Ballew, back Monday at 7.